the melody itself compared to the original birthday song, way better. The original birthday song is so boring as to make you think maybe birthdays ain't dope. Maybe birthdays are just shitty days that are acknowledging we're close to death. That's how the fuck it's up.
Turns out birthdays are for killing yourself. That's right. When you're supposed to do it. It's on your birthday because of this song.
Then you hear Stevie's version and you're like, I got something to look forward to. Pass the E and J.
Yep, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another phenomenal episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dive deep, deep into the pockets of Black conspiracy theories, and we finally work to prove that Crispus Attucks proves that we are living in a horror movie because he was the first nigga killed in the B-movie slasher film that is America. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are getting killed off first, like all horror films, you know? Horror films, the Black people always die first, but Whitey, you're going down too. And Crispus Attucks is proof. This whole country is proof of that. Anyway, I'm your host, Langston Kerman, coming in hot as always. That's how I behave. You know my behavior. You know how I act. Don't act brand new, you pieces of shit. You listen every week and you pretend as if I can't believe he would say something like that. And you motherfucking knew I would. Get the fuck out of here. You know who doesn't behave poorly? You know who shows up and he's got a beautiful attitude and goddammit, is he funny? He's kind, he's funny, and he behaves the right way. Not like me. Not like an asshole like me. He's great. I've known him for years. You know him from his work on the show For Life on ABC, I believe. And he's great. He's so many funny clips online. You know him from the Nightly Show on Comedy Central. Give it up for my guest, Mr. Felonious Monk.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello.
You're waving. And this is an audio medium.
That's how I get down, man. You never know. This is a very important, it's called a segue. It's leading. Foreshadowing a little, if you will. You think that's they can't fair. See the way, but they can't. That,
okay, I see what you're doing. You're playing a coy game with our listeners because they don't yet know what your conspiracy theory is, right. But you have one that's very applicable to a person waving for no reason at all.
I do. are we ready to drop it on them?
Let's jump into it. I want to present it as perfectly as you sold it to me. This is one that I've been desperate to dig into for quite a while. You said, my mama told me.
Stevie Wonder isn't actually blind.
That motherfucker can see. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. Stevie can see. The fact that he could play multiple instruments without the ability to see should have tipped motherfuckers off. Like, nobody's just grabbing an oboe and knowing what to do with an oboe. Motherfuckers can see and can't play the oboe. You telling me little 12-year-old blind Stevie couldn't stop? All right. Have you ever seen Stevie's wives? All of them fine. He just randomly keep bumping into fine women by rubbing. What's this? The Ray Charles thing? He rubbed their forearm? Get the fuck out of here. Stevie can see. He knows those braids need to go. I bet you he's seen that too. That's how I know Stevie on bullshit, man. There's enough evidence online of Stevie ducking microphones and making space for motherfuckers. You don't make space for people when you blind.
Yeah.
Even if you could sense them there. You blind. You take the handicapped privilege. That's what you do. Now, this motherfucker be moving because he's a gentleman and he can see the motherfuckers. He be getting out their way. Stevie Wonder can see. His best albums have to do with vision. Inner vision. Song, visions. Get the fuck out of here. Come on now. Stevie can see.
Stevie can see. You listen, I said I came in hot. You came in hot, baby.
I was waiting. I was chomping at the bit. The energy once you started calling people pieces of shit, I was like, this is home. This feels good.
I love that
type of energy.
Let's take some steps backwards because I feel like you've already introduced some pretty solid evidence into this conversation. So the one of the first things you said that I think is a very valid point is that Stevie Wonder is a fantastic musician, like truly one of the greatest like musicians our planet has ever known, in his ability to pretty much pick up any instrument known to man and play the motherfucker. Now, right. We've seen evidence in the past of blind people being able to play instruments, but never with the scale and breadth that Stevie has, right. I think.
Stevie finds new way. Like, listen, a piano is a piano. You can play the piano without looking. People do that all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Ray Charles did it. Ray Charles is a fantastic piano player, but Ray Charles did it by feel. And I say Stevie starts with the piano. Great. But then you start playing the kalimba and he would find instruments in Quincy Jones's attic and shit. And they, you know, there's all these types of, I don't know if they're apocryphal or not, but there were these stories about him finding like these ancient African instruments in Quincy Jones's attic, bringing them down, and within an hour he's got them on his album because he's learned how to play it. Get the fuck a blind, so blind 12-year-old Stevie Wonder from whatever the fuck Arkansas, who's never been outside of his one room shack with his mom, went to Quincy Jones's magnificent mansion, found a fucking stick with a hole in it, and learned how to play melodic. Get the no, he can see the shit. I'm sick of him lying. I know we love Stevie, but this is some bullshit, man. Motherfucker been getting away.
The man's playing games. Let's say that.
He's playing in my face. He stopped playing in my face, Stevie. Stevie, if you're out there, I know you can see this.
I know you can see this podcast, Stevie.
I know you can see this podcast.
So here's where I do tend to agree. Is that there is something wildly insane about him being able to pick up just random instruments. And maybe he is a savant. Maybe he is just truly a child prodigy because he did start at a very young age. He wasn't from Arkansas. He's from Saginaw, Michigan, the Arkansas of the North, the as Arkansas. Some people refer to it.
The Alabama of the Midwest.
Yes,
depends on
exactly.
Which one. Are you talking Glove or Upper Peninsula? Because I think
this is like that sad middle of the hand that stinks. You know what I mean? Just smells like
palm.
Yeah, palm. Stinky palm. Saginaw, Michigan, a little context, the few people that I knew, I have a friend named Anthony who's from Saginaw, Michigan, and it was commonly referred to in college. I went to school in Michigan, and it was commonly referred to by everyone as Sag Nasty. That's what they called Saginaw, Michigan, was Sag Nasty. So it's not a proud place. It's not a place where you tell heroic stories of survival. The only people I know that have made it out of Saginaw, Michigan are Stevie Wonder and Draymond Green. Those are the two survivors of Saginaw.
I'll be honest with you. Draymond Green just gave me a picture of Saginaw that makes the Sag Nasty have some type of context. That's Draymond Green, bottom lip, not always attached to top lip, staring off into space. Draymond. Okay. Now I know what Saginaw is. Shout out to Draymond Green.
The type of man who would kick another person in the nuts and then do a veneers commercial. You know what I mean? Just a weird scumbag of a human being is
high basketball IQ, but also piece of shit. So apparently they create savants who don't give a fuck about the social contract that the rest of us have signed, where you don't lie to people about who you are. Okay. You're a shitty person. Just say that. If you want to just be a shitty person and pretend, you want to grab boobies, but I'm blind. No, motherfucker. You knew those were boobies, sir. You did it on purpose.
You cut that out, Stevie. You knew you weren't allowed to grab those boobies.
I'm sorry. No, motherfucker. You're not sorry. You're going home and laughing. We're going to find this journal one day, and it's going to be today, grab 7 breasts accidentally. It's like, what did you draw? And he's going to draw the fingers. He's not even going to use actual quotes. He's going to draw fingers. He's a shit person. And I'm killing idols. That's what I'm doing. Before I die, I'm killing your idols. Fuck Stevie Wonder. That's my position. It's not even about his being blind now. It's just he's not a good person.
I love this.
This is jamming on the one. Fuck him for jamming on the one. That's number one. He went on Bill Cosby's show and played one note on a shitty synthesizer, and people just went, "That's amazing, jamming on the one, jamming on the one." Oh, that shitty music, Stevie. That whole 80s synthesizer fucking period that you had, you should fucking be angry at yourself. You should take all that music off of iTunes. I just called to say I love all that bullshit. That Casio, fuck you, Stevie. I'm angry. I would apologize, but I mean this shit.
That much is clear. I don't think anybody's going to listen to this episode and be like, I can't tell how Monk actually feels about this Stevie Wonder character.
He's just not passionate. I can't tell. He's got to commit more. What does he really think?
So you brought up another essential little, let's call it a clue at the possibility that Stevie Wonder is in fact able to see. And this is a really interesting one to me, is his hair. Stevie Wonder has long, for those of you that don't know, Stevie Wonder grew dreadlocks at a certain point in his life. And then I got to say he started with braids, and then at some point he started to lock those braids. And then, yes, his hairline began to recede. But Stevie Wonder has long committed to that hairstyle. Now, if I'm understanding you correctly, what you're saying is he is intentionally holding on to that hairstyle as a trick, as a sort of like a mirage, mm-hmm. to say that, like, what sane man with perfect vision would opt to keep this hairstyle when, in fact, he does see what's happening. He's like, sacrifices got to be made to maintain my illusion.
I feel like he's gaslighting us with his hairline. Because if you go, oh, shit, and put your hand on your forehead.
Yep.
You know, the first time you did that, there was hair on your fucking index finger. Now, for the last 15 years, you've been doing that, and your hand is no longer feeling it. You've got to go way away from your eyebrows to feel your hairline. And you telling me a motherfucker can pick up an instrument and by feel know how to play said instrument, but mm-hmm. can't feel that his hairline has started behind his ears for at least a decade and a half. Get the fuck. You lying to us, Stevie, and gaslighting is some manipulative bullshit. And you shouldn't be out here doing that. It's one thing to gaslight somebody in a relationship. We know that's horrible on the micro level. This motherfucker is gaslighting us on the macro level. And this is some fucked up shit. Now, he's black, so I'm giving him a little bit of grace because, hey, man, they've been gaslighting black people forever. So I'm going to let this nigga get away with this shit. Well, come on, Stevie. Stop gaslighting me. Why are you being weird to me, Stevie?
So part of this is you feeling like this is not just a macro attack, as you put it, but truly a personal attack that personal. Stevie is starting to direct your way.
He knows. He knows I know. He knows I know, and he keep doing this shit, man. He keep doing this shit. I don't like it. I don't like it. Isn't she lovely? Motherfucker, how you know? You know what I'm saying? It's a whole lot of shit. It's just like, you're not supposed to just, isn't she? I don't know, nigga. Is she? What's lovely? What is lovely to you? You know what I'm saying? I don't like any of this shit.
Let me ask you this.
That's just bullshit, Stevie. You know.
Let's backtrack a little bit, because so many essential points have been made. Where does this start for you? When did you first come to this feeling that Stevie Wonder is not blind? Was somebody in your life that sort of initiated this conversation? Was it a specific observation? Where did this come from for you?
I think part of it is being black in America. And I'm gonna take you there. Just listen.
I'm listening.
There's something about being black in America that when there's someone who's exceptional and they're also black, mm-hmm. we inherently question it, right? Oprah, Jay-Z, Beyonce, and all of them are clearly in the Illuminati, and Ty had to go to jail, or, you know, that's not the real Gail, the bitch is a bot, or whatever it is that we have to do to make mm-hmm. this type of excellence make sense, right? And I am one of those people who has converted, because I was one of those early, no, black people can be fantastic without some weird shit going on. I mm-hmm. would defend these people, and then people would make points and say, okay, well, that might be true, but how about this? And then I started seeing videos of Stevie in group settings where things would happen and he would turn his head at some movement over to the side. And I go, well, why is Stevie aware of this movement? Did a gentle breeze touch his cheek? And he's so into, like, wait a minute, you don't get to have all the superpowers at the same time. Yes, I understand that sometimes when you lose one sense, other senses are heightened. But nigga, you didn't see that microphone fall and then reflexively catch it. I can't do that, nigga, and I can see. The fuck you now you playing the piano, the oboe, arranging the music and singing while swinging your head side to side like you're doing the WAP, and you happen to also catch the motherfucking microphone. Stop playing in my face, Stevie. Right. You playing in my face. That's what's happening. And also, he's committed to those glasses. Another one of those, like, hey, man, you got enough money for a stylist, and your stylist ain't never said to you, hey, nigga, there's another pair of glasses you can wear. We transition.
there are other glasses you could try, big dog.
You could do anything you want to. You're wealthy. You could get fucking custom-made Stevie Wonder glasses, but you gonna wear them motherfuckers with the studs? Nigga. Mm. Gaslighting us. I'm telling you, he's playing in our face. So what happened was, I was one of those people defending, like, no, there's no way. Of course, Stevie Wonder's blind. Y'all are hating. Black people are magic. And black people do magical shit. And every time a black person does some magical shit, they're not wrong. And then I found out that Stevie was lying. And it didn't unravel the other ones, but I have to out him to protect the others. It's important that I out the offenders to protect the ones who didn't. So it's just like if somebody beats you up, right? And you go and report it and they say you're lying. No, that's fucked up. That's fucked up. I have to have your back. But when somebody goes and turns in a false report about getting beat up, well, I have to help that motherfucker get punished to the full extent because it's his fault that they didn't believe you. So goddamn it, Stevie. The reason that all these black people being put in the Illuminati without actually being in the Illuminati is because you out here lying about your fucking vision, nigga. You out here like you got one cock eye like you. Do what Music Soul Child did. Nigga, wear a pair of glasses and do a couple of fucking falsetto stuff. But don't lie. I say you lie, nigga.
To that point, and I think that's a valid one, Music Soul Child has the same eyes of a blind man. He has the eyes that we have been led to believe would appear underneath Stevie Wonder's glasses, but he's never claimed to be blind. He just claimed to be a man who spelled stuff all in one big chunk. You know what I mean? Just one big clump of words, and that's how he was going to name his stuff.
I would just want to swallow sweet. What? Is that a type of gumbo, nigga? What?
Put a little bit of I Just Want to Sing sauce on there, please.
Yeah, a little bit of that. I just want to say, I can say Worcestershire better than I can say the titles of some of his songs. And but yes, that's when Stevie takes his glasses off, I am not uncomfortable in that way that I should be, right? That way you got to, okay, let me center myself so nobody knows that I just went, oh, I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
No, Stevie takes his glasses off. We like, oh, he caca. That's all.
And I do think caca. I do think that is worth us taking on as a conversation in this, that, like, frankly, this is not us, hopefully, making fun of the blind. We are not being unkind to those of you who are disabled in any kind of way. This is us having a conversation about an individual who happens to be, or at least happens to be claiming to be blind and wanting to get the real truth behind his blindness, not just a farce, a false truth.
In fact, if you are blind, you should be right here with me doing the research because it's people like Stevie that makes it hard for you. You imagine growing up during the Stevie Wonder era and you tell your mama you can't do something. She's like, bitch, Stevie Wonder can play 45 instruments, sing, write music, and arrange shit. And he's 12 years old. And you like, nigga, I just bumped into a door and you treat me like shit. I can't see. They're like, well, figure it out. That's why this is fucked up. He's making it harder for people who actually can't see. And that's fucked up, Stevie. I know you can see me, nigga.
To that point, Ray Charles, who I would argue was actually blind, was an actual blind person, had to do heroin to deal with the pressure of living a life the way that he did. That, like, his while he was massively gifted in a lot of ways, he also struggled in a lot of ways and turned to drugs as a solution for that struggle. Right. Whereas Stevie Wonder has somehow done all of this shit stone cold sober. You know what I mean?
So you don't do no drugs. We don't know about you drinking and falling out. You keep making jokes. You keep fucking with us. I was just driving. Bitch, why you talk like that? Blind doesn't make you talk different. All right, nigga, I know people from Michigan, and I've never heard anybody from Michigan talk like that. All of this shit is an affectation. One of two things is true. Either Stevie Wonder is a person who can see, and he's been putting on an act since he was 11, 12 years old, or Stevie Wonder is a goddamn cyborg, in which case I know he can see, and fuck him for lying to us. And also Elon Musk is involved. I don't know about that second part, but it feels good. It feels right.
Sure.
It feels right.
This feels like something Elon could have cooked up. And he's going to
Elon shit.
Yeah. He's going to be like, this has been the original Tesla model the entire time.
This was the Turing test was to figure out, not only could you not figure out that this was AI, but you believe this was better than you humans. This was the best of humans. Turing test is supposed to say that humans can't figure out whether or not it's a... No, this motherfucker is so good that he's convinced us that he is the best of the humans. And he did it by manipulating us with a sympathetic blindness.
Damn.
He chose a fucking handicap that no one would question. No one's going to be like, you can see, nigga. That's rude, right? That's rude as shit. Nigga, you can see. You can't say that to a person, but I can. Nigga, you can see.
But I can. Okay. Let's unpack a few other things here that I think are really important in this conversation. You have clearly chosen your side in the Stevie Wonder Wars. You know exactly where you stand in all of this. How on board are the people in your life with this conversation? When you're a married man, when you take this to your wife, is she like, I hear you, baby, and I think your points are valid? Or is she like, my nigga, please stop saying this and don't bring this out of the house? Where are we at in the scale of things?
Very much the latter. My wife was a very sensible person. She doesn't like the controversy. She's very low key. And if I could shut the fuck up a lot more, that would make her very happy. But the fact is, man, truth tellers cannot be corralled. They can't be put in a box. You know what I'm saying? She knew who I was when she met me, goddammit. I'm out here. You know what I mean? I'm X-Files in this shit. The truth is out there. Stevie can see.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, she'll let me rattle this shit off. And most of my friends will kind of let me go. But I do have some high-profile believers. Bomani Jones, later ESPN, is also in support of the this nigga can see movement. It's a lot of people out there. The thing is, people might think I'm a fringe group nigga, but I'm not. We are mighty. We might be a silent majority. You know, most people haven't asked the important questions. That's the thing. Most people heard Stevie Wonder's blind. They say, okay, Stevie Wonder's blind. They never thought to themselves, is that nigga blind? They never said, let me question it. You know what I mean? Motherfuckers is questioning all the vaccines and saving lives, but you ain't question whether or not this motherfucker been able to see for 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's odd. I get
it's
that.
Weird.
It's odd.
You just told us. You know what I mean? Like, if you told me your name was Langston, but everybody kept saying your name was Jerry, I'd be like, I don't know. That nigga name might be Jerry. I wouldn't just accept that your name was Langston because you said it. Stevie Wonder said he was blind. A lot of people say, is he? But we just said, no, you're idiots. Why? Why am I the idiot? You know what I mean? I'm not telling you the earth is flat, nigga. The earth is round. Stevie Wonder can see.
And interestingly enough, to that point, the people who seem to be most vocal about Stevie Wonder potentially not being blind are also people who have had direct contact with Stevie Wonder in various forms. It's not as if, like, it does seem in a strange way that the people who are most avidly defending Stevie Wonder's blindness are also motherfuckers who have never spent any time with Stevie Wonder, and it's a strange conundrum we find ourselves in.
Is it? Is it a conundrum, or is this America? Motherfuckers that don't know shit got the most to say.
Whoa.
They don't trust the experts. They don't trust the people closest to the information. And that's why we're in the second summer of a goddamn pandemic with numbers through the roof, because you niggas believe that Stevie Wonder was fucking blind and you ain't never been around Stevie Wonder day in your life. But all the people that been within 5 feet of Stevie Wonder, like, nah, that nigga can see at least a little bit. I believe the experts. That's all I'm saying. Monk believes science.
Whoa, hold on. Wait a minute.
Well, that's how they get you.
That's how they get you, because you're hitting some valid shit right now. You're saying, and I want to make sure I'm getting this equation right. You're saying that our willingness to just go along with information is part of how we find ourselves in the middle of this sort of like complex infighting that's happening now in relation to pandemic and I assume racial issues that are wide sweeping the nation. All of this is related to our investment in Stevie Wonder's blindness.
Hey, man. Hey, listen. I know you got a segment called Talk Your Talk, but you're talking that talk right now. Like, hey.
No.
I'm trying to tell
Brother, I'm just repeating back. You're doing the work.
That's what it is. That's how we doing it. Listen, all I'm saying is, the people being called sheeple are the people closest to the information. The sheeple are the people who don't believe the experts. The person who raises their hand and says, hey, is 2 + 2 really 4? I don't understand this. That's not a fucking person who does their own research. This nigga's making class longer. dumbass nigga. 2 + 2 = 4. Stop stretching the goddamn lesson out because you want to be a contrarian. 2 + 2 = 4. It's been 4. It'll be 4. And all you doing is making her talk more about shit. Now, when the test comes, I'm not going to be ready because your dumbass made her spend an extra 15 minutes showing you 2 sticks and 2 more sticks and making you count the dumb fucking sticks out. Okay? That's enough. Shut the fuck up. Accept the truth. Accept the facts. Realize that the person up there teaching us has been teaching it longer than your dumbass has been asking these questions, and accept their expertise. The person who stood right next to Stevie Wonder on the Grammy stage and said, hey, some shit fell. I saw Stevie do a fucking pirouette, catch the shit with his left hand and never stop singing. I believe that nigga can sing. That's an expert. You listened to 4 songs last week and you loved that little Christmas song because he did it with the lady who's not her hair. And so you're like, ah, whatever Stevie says is the truth. Stop. Kill your idols. Kill all of your idols. I don't give a fuck who it is. Question everything. Question Barack. Question The Rock. Question all them niggas because somebody, look, you don't get to that much power clean. You don't get that high clean. And as you said, Stevie Wonder, drug free. Come on now. He is the suit of the music industry.
Let me, first of all.
That's called motherfucking bars, nigga. You know nothing about that.
First of all, you dropped a lot of gems just a moment ago. But at its core, I think one of the more, you ended with something that I think is really important and also something that I firmly believe in, is this questioning of our idols, this almost rejecting of our idols, if necessary. Mm-hmm. That we've reached this point in society where we pretend as if all of these characters are flawless, when in fact, there might be something way more advantageous to just admit that they are, in fact, hugely flawed figures. That, like, it's easier for me to make sense of Jay-Z if I recognize that Jay-Z is a piece of shit, rather than pretend as if Jay-Z is, like, a good dude who just earned $1 billion the right way. That's not how $1 billion works.
He's a kind of softer billionaire. No, motherfucker. We're his sweatshop employees. That's why we feel different. That's why we want to give him credit for it, because Jay-Z made much of his billions off the back of black people. And so black people want to say that he's good because we don't want to feel like we were a part of this scheme. We were. We got used. We got fucked over. And we're the tiny little Indian kids making Nikes to make Jay-Z a billionaire. Right. It's the same across the board. And it's okay. He's a human. We knew. He sold drugs in his own hood. He told us he did that. So hopefully we didn't have to go through that. But we did go through it because we were more inspired by him than warned. Nigga, nobody listened to Jay-Z verses was like, ooh, warning, don't sell drugs. He was like, damn, that just sounds fun in a motherfucker. I want to go up the Avenue and climb Green 5. That sounds like fun. All I'm saying is, if we can't start from the position that all of our heroes, all of the celebrities are fuck niggas first.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did this other amazing thing. Now, you could give weight to either one of them more than you give it to the other. If you could say, hey, Jay-Z's super talented. Yes, he's a shit human being, but he's not a shit human being on the level of R. Kelly. But we can't do that. You know, the fact that R. Kelly is still being defended, I mean, like heavily defended by the lay people. Right. Yes. I get that his lawyers defended him. I get that all of the people who were owed payouts are defending him. I get that. I get the people who were close to him and really it would break their heart if he was fucked up because they have invested so much of their time. I get that. What I don't get is this random nigga from Alabama who's never met R. Kelly, just like the same motherfucker never met Stevie Wonder. Why are you that invested in making him not be a shit person?
Yes. 100%. And even if the conversation then, and this I think tracks with your point, if the conversation goes, well, I just like their art, I like the music that they make, that is a different conversation at hand. It's not an ideal one. Ideally, we'd be able to walk away from whatever R. Kelly is making and just be at peace with the fact that somebody who touches kids probably shouldn't be on the radio. But even if that's not the issue, what we or rather isn't essential to you, what is essential is just being able to admit that's a bad fucking dude.
That's a shit
person. Regardless of how you feel about Step in the Name of Love or anything else that he's produced.
And I think the bigger piece to that is a very important conversation to have about art, because the most broken people often make the best art.
phenomenal.
And if we
artist.
Were able to acknowledge that they are shit people, then we can easily have that conversation. Hey, you know what? Really fucked up dude, really good music. That's kind of how it works. That's whatever the algorithm is, the more depraved, the more beautiful the art. And we can't get to that point because you niggas won't admit that they're depraved. You can't admit yes. that pissing on a 15-year-old, whether or not you believe there was consent or not, is a weird, wild shit. Not kink shaming, but nigga, she is a
I've
freshman
never woke
in high
up
school.
In the morning with
today
that instinct.
Today. You know what I'm
I don't know, man. I got a hit record out. I might want to piss on a kid.
I'll make the world my bitch. Nah, you know what? There's got to be a freshman out there that is dry and needs a pissing. No, nobody needs a pissing, sir.
Nobody needs a pissing. You know what? That's a good way for us to go out on break. Is no one needs a pissing. We'll be back with more Felonious Monk and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back. That's right. We're back here with more Felonious Monk. More My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about the possibility that Stevie Wonder is faking it. That motherfucker can see, and his outfits and his glasses and his dreadlocks, what are left of them, is proof of his visual capabilities. Let me ask you this question. Do you think that Stevie has arranged with the people in his life to keep this hush-hush? Because he has multiple ex-wives who have never come forward. He has lots and lots of children who have never once spoken up about their father's supposed blindness, you know, fake or otherwise. Do you think that he has propositioned them, or is everybody just trying to protect their own bag?
I think it's protecting them. I mean, this is generational. Again, we just used the R. Kelly example, which is a shit example of the worst of humanity, right? Like it is. So what happens is the complicity makes people defensive, because if those people acknowledge how shitty he is, then they're also acknowledging a certain amount of willingness to at least turn away from the shitty, to know that it's there and to still be in its presence and its proximity for money. And you've told everyone what your price is, right? My price is whatever the bag is he's giving me, I'm willing to overlook him harming these children because it's financially beneficial to me. And all of us want to believe that if we were on that game show where someone dropped the money, we would run up and give it to him. But some real niggas out there is like, nah, nigga, you drop $1 million in front of me, I am now a millionaire. Yes. And until we can admit that as people, that some of us, and a lot more of us than are willing to admit it, would cover for somebody doing something shitty if we thought we could get away with it and we got paid. Mm-hmm. And the heavier weight is probably to the get paid. Because I'm not going to cover for R. Kelly just to cover for the nigga. But they start throwing money, the conversations change. Now, for me, fuck him. I got kids. I got, you know what I mean? I know enough women who this has happened to that I wouldn't defend that. I think in Stevie Wonder's case, this is kind of a victimless crime. So if he is cited, let's say hypothetically Stevie Wonder cited, and the worst that happened is his records were held in slightly less esteem. He is currently considered a musical god. He would just be considered a really good musician with weird fashion choices.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
If Stevie Wonder on record could see, we would maybe put a little more analysis on some of his later albums. We'd be like, I don't know, bro. Some of these wasn't smacking the way that these earlier joints were smacking.
The whole 80s can kiss my ass. Everything he made, all that. The birthday song that niggas love to sing. Listen to the actual birthday song. The song itself. Not the way niggas sang it. Happy birthday. That's great. But take that out of it. Take the nostalgia, the camaraderie, the cookout vibe. And just go listen to the song. It sounds like that nigga turned the keyboard on, picked three, sped it up a little bit, and started singing while doing chord progressions. The shit's fucking awful. It's terrible. You know how you could tell it's trash? Nobody has ever sampled the birthday song on a song. Not Kanye ain't slowed it up, sped it down, none of that. He just fucking said no Stevie Wonder from the 80s. All of that shit's trash.
I'm gonna be real with you. I fucking love that birthday song. And this hurts my heart to hear that it potentially could be a trash song. And I'm going to go listen to it and I'll give an objective response. I'm not going to defend it here because I can't honestly say that it is a good song.
Don't know. Right. Because most of us don't listen to the song. We know the song. The song has meaning to us because there's not been a birthday since probably in your lifetime that you haven't heard that song.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
certainly not. Well, you got to remember, I got a white daddy, black. So I've heard that's a fair. Lot good of
point.
Birthdays.
Good point.
But there were quite a few that had it, and I really like those birthdays better.
So that's the thing. This feels black. This feels the his song, just the singing of it, and it's always one woman in your family who says, "Fuck the group dynamic, I'm going solo," and she really just belts the. Yeah, you like, you can sing Aunt Loretta. And that's what you like about the song.
Right.
If you hear the song separate from that experience, it's basically I Just Called to Say I Love You sped up with birthday lyrics. It's not a good song, man. It's not a good song. And I know it was for Martin Luther King Jr. I understand that it wasn't just the birthday song for niggas. It has turned into the birthday song for niggas. Like many of the things that black people created, whatever it was originally intended for, it has shifted into a more commercial version of it. It was supposed to be to get states like Arizona to commit to making Martin Luther King Jr.'s day a national holiday.
Yes.
But if you're going to do that, nigga, you're the dude who wrote songs in the key of life. You understand me? You wrote Sir Duke.
Yes.
This is what you gave us, nigga.
You're saying he could have showed up better, but he leaned on his blindness as a scapegoat for writing a mediocre birthday song to Martin Luther King Jr.
To Martin Luther King. If you're going to write anything to Martin Luther King Jr., I feel like this.
I'm nervous.
You should be. You should be. Diana Ross sang a song when Marvin Gaye died. It was a very moving song. It's probably the best goodbye song. And this is how you know it is. This is the song that Puffy sampled when he did his Biggie tribute. I'm Missing You. Ooh, great song. The Commodores also did a song in tribute to Marvin Gaye and Jackie Wilson. It's called The Night Shift. Lionel Richie was no longer with the Commodores at that point. Lionel Richie, as we all know, is one of the greatest songwriters in the last 100 years. It's basically Lionel Richie, Burt Bacharach. If you liked a song from 60 till 95, one of them niggas wrote the shit.
Right.
And by niggas, I'm being very loose with that because Burt Bacharach is very light.
Burt knows what he is.
He's white nigga. So
he's not listening to the podcast like, yes, finally.
Finally. I've been waiting for somebody to realize I was a real nigga. Burt Bacharach, bitch. So what Stevie Wonder did was write the Night Shift of birthday songs. Sure, I get the sentiment, but nigga, that song's terrible. Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down on a night shift. Nigga, what that got to do about Marvin Gaye dying?
Right.
Gonna be a long night, gonna be all right on a night shift. What?
They phoned it in, and
what Stevie Wonder did on the birthday song.
Stevie phoned it in for MLK.
And he knew that big voice niggas and big voice nigga women were gonna be able to fix it. It's the equivalent of somebody hiring you for an acting role and saying some improv will be expected because they didn't write the funny shit very well, but they know that your funny ass gonna turn it into something.
You could turn Stevie Wonder this into a show.
Stevie Wonder wrote a baseline song and said, "Have at it, niggas," and niggas have had at it for 30 plus years.
Wow. Well, this is devastating if true. I've got a lot to think about, but before I do, I want us to unpack some of this research. I did a fair amount of research on this subject, and fortunately, quite a few websites had done some research for me. This is a far more popular conspiracy theory than the world would lead you to believe. But let's start right at the beginning. One of the first things that personally cued me into believing that Stevie Wonder might, in fact, not be as blind as he says, is that Stevie Wonder's real name is actually Stevland Hardaway Morris, which suggests personally that Stevie took one look at that goofy ass name written down and he said, "I gotta change this. This
I wonder what could be better.
This looks terrible on paper. I gotta do something about this."
Mm-hmm. Also, there's a copy of his handwriting, of him writing Stevlin on one of his earlier albums.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see that, it is written as if he had some kind of guide to let him know how big to make each letter. Either right. this nigga understands proportions really well without having ever seen a proportion.
Mm.
Or somebody taught this nigga how to write and he looked at the paper and wrote S-T-E-V. He can see. I'm not playing with this nigga. Keep playing in my goddamn face.
So is Stevie Wonder's initial blindness, which I think is something that is worth talking about because it becomes a big point of conversation in how you understand whether or not he is in fact blind. Stevie Wonder was not born blind. He right. was technically born with sight. He was born 6 weeks premature. And mm-hmm. while he was premature, he was placed in an incubator. And at the time, technology wasn't as, and medical sort of knowledge wasn't as precise. And they basically mm-hmm. over-served him oxygen. They gave right. him way too much oxygen inside that incubator, which caused a type of disorder, a disease called retinopathy of prematurity. It's called ROP, a condition in which the growth of the eyes is aborted and causes the retinas to detach. So he became blind 6 weeks into his life. That said, Stevie Wonder has not technically ever been able to see, because anybody that knows anything about babies knows that babies can't really see shit for the first like month and a half of their life. They're just seeing bright lights and colors, kind of. Mm-hmm. And it even colors is a bit of a stretch in that early, in those early stages. So the argument where this, I guess, becomes an argument is that Stevie Wonder's music is so deeply rooted in physical descriptions of colors, shapes, and textures that it is hard to believe that a person who has never known sight is able to so accurately describe so many physical traits out in the world.
Mm-hmm. So again, we're going to go back to America being a shithole. When you think of blackness, you only can understand blackness as a construct as it relates to whiteness or some otherness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you say nappy hair, you have to assume there's a non-nappy hair.
Boom.
Well, how do you know what this is? How do you know which is what? Looking back on when I, first of all, you started with looking back. I mean, you could have said thinking back. It's the same amount of syllables. Thinking back on when I... Nobody changes the song. It's still fine.
Hold on, nigga. Can you sing? Said, look, what a goddamn
minute. I can sing like Stevie Wonder. I can do that. But you know what? I can't sing that good because I can see. But if I was blind and I sang like that, you would have changed the name of the show from My Mama Told Me to Goddamn, That Blind Nigga Can Sing. That's all yep. I'm saying. Stevie mm-hmm. Wonder said, looking back on when I was a little nappy-headed boy. How the fuck you know your hair was nappy, Stevie? Who told you that? Who taught you to hate yourself, Stevie?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. You saw your hair. You knew it was nappy. You looked back on that. So, you understand me?
I love these descriptions. I do think, and I think this is really important because it then sort of introduces us to childhood Stevie Wonder, right?
Mm.
And there mm-hmm. are arguments to be made that maybe people in his life use this language or sort of like articulated this language around him. And then he adopted that language much in the way that he adopted his knowledge of instruments through listening to people play instruments around him in the radio, right?
Yeah.
That's a potential argument to be made. But one of the things that kept popping up in the research that I did, and a Deadspin article, I want to give them credit, put together a pretty solid list of all the different arguments that have been made about Stevie Wonder's potential non-blindness. But one of the things that they said about Stevie Wonder as a child is that this motherfucker loved playing pranks, that he was known for running around both Motown, like recording studios, and his own home and playing pranks specifically on adults without anyone's help or supervision. That he was like really good at playing pranks on everyone around him.
Mm. Go figure. The little blind boy that can't see is able to trick you and you didn't know. Listen, I got a 5-year-old that falls down anytime he takes steps that are a little faster than the step he took before. Uh-huh. Nigga fall 8-9 times a day. You hear, I'm okay. when you ain't even know nothing was not okay. Motherfucker just be walking, you hear boom, I'm okay. That's what children do, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about pre-12-year-old Stevie. We're talking about running around the house and doing it at Motown. This is before Stevie Wonder was famous. He was known as a prankster.
Yes.
A blind prankster? Come on now, y'all doing too much. Y'all saying things that don't make sense to me and then go look me in my face and I'm not supposed to question it. This is all the bigger scam here. And I'm going to tell you, I don't have a problem with Stevie Wonder being blind or sighted. I don't give a shit, really. I like the music. It's really good. But the bigger thing here is if I can keep convincing niggas of lies, then I can make niggas believe government bullshit. So I can just get y'all to believe this simple lie. If you get somebody to believe a little lie, then you can get them to believe a bigger lie and then a bigger lie. So eventually we start to just stop questioning shit. That's what I'm saying. Stevie Wonder ain't been pranking nobody with no goddamn visit. Y'all ain't gonna keep lying to me. And Berry Gordy and all them motherfuckers was just firing niggas for showing up late, but we gonna let this little 12-year-old prank us and our shit? Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder could see. They knew he could see, but he was a cash cow. There it is.
I do think there's something really valid in the argument that this is, in fact, an easy way into a much more sinister world of lies and deceit. That this is the sort of like entry level, like you said, that in theory could be harmless, but right. leads into something that is much more harmful. And it all is mixing the culture of lies together.
There you go. If we could just get these niggas to believe, and you have to start with something. And what's the great entry point for Black people is always going to be music, dance, songs, R&B, soul. If I can sprinkle some bullshit in that, I can take y'all anywhere. If they wanted Black people to take the vaccine, they'd have got fucking Beyonce to sing about shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you had told Black people that the government was trying to kill us with COVID and the only solution was the vaccine, you might have got niggas to take the damn vaccine.
Yes, that they could have invested in a way that actually got people interested in this, but instead opted to sort of like play this neutral game of getting like obscure random Black people who drive Lyft to be like, hey, I took the vaccine and I still got my job, which
right,
is nice.
I'm looking like, is this my Lyft driver, nigga? Nigga, your song selection is awful. Also, you smoked cigarettes before I got in the car. I don't trust you.
I don't enjoy talking to you for 15 minutes at a time. I'm not going to trust your word on this.
I do think that there's psychology at play, and the CDC, for example, clearly has not studied human psychology, right? When you're a scientist, scientists say things, and this is a good point too, because you're a poet, you understand that Stevie's language, and we're pointing to and we're making everything that he says literal, right? But of course, he's choosing this visual language because that was help with his songwriting. Someone said, hey, nigga, you can't keep making these abstract ass statements. We can see. We don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right, okay. Right.
But understanding human psychology, you make the adjustment so that it reaches the broadest swath of people. When the CDC says things like, we don't have any evidence that suggests that masks work, anyone who studies science understands that that means we haven't studied it enough to have a definitive answer.
Yes.
So we can't tell you, we don't have any evidence that it works. That doesn't mean we have evidence that it doesn't. It just means we haven't studied it. And so later when they go, hey, wear your mask, you go, oh, that's fucked up. First y'all said, don't wear a mask. First y'all said, masks don't work. That's not what they said. They said, there's no evidence because we haven't studied it yet. And so not understanding psychology is how we get into these places where these people who are experts in a subject are also not experts in the most important subject. And that's how to communicate this information. I think that that's what happened here. We have an expert in the situation. Stevie Wonder is an expert in music, but he's a goofy looking little nigga from Saginaw, Michigan, and there's no way to sell that. But you can make him blind.
Yes.
I think that little dance that he does, that little sway that he does, that comes from him being rocked until he was 3 or 4 years old to put him to sleep. And so the only way that he could relax.
I think that motherfucker danced like that from the beginning.
He's
and
always
if I'm Barry
like
Gordy, I'm looking at Lil Michael and them, and they dancing their asses off. They can move, they can groove, they can do all kinds of shit. And then Stevie comes in, probably more talented musician, at that age, but they can't get him to do what Lil Michael's doing. So fuck it, man. Put these glasses on.
And we need blind, that because baby. you got Jackie Wilson, right? You got Michael Jackson. Yep. You got James Brown. What can you do? I could play the harmonica and wobble.
Yeah.
Yeah, nigga, that's not going to work. You know what? You're exactly right. Put these oversized sunglasses on. Cock your eye a little bit every time you take them off so people think you really can't see. And wear this little ass suit. And that's what you do. And
wear
so,
this little ass suit.
Wear this little ass suit. You know what I mean? So when I see him, I feel like this is how everything in America gets commodified.
Yeah,
this works, but it only works if I take advantage of psychology. Nobody wants to see this nigga. He's blind. Oh my God. Now I want to see him. Where's a little blind boy that can play the piano? That's right. What happened, man. And then once he got older and he had control of his own career, he broke away from basically Black Disney, which was Motown. You know, you can't tell niggas you can see at 24. So you went from 6 weeks to 24 without being able to see, and it's a miracle.
Oh no, it's a miracle.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And by the way, we've had surgery to reattach retinas for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
You telling me this multimillionaire didn't decide to go get a peek?
Right. Didn't at least go and get an analysis to see if maybe
exploratory
it's
fucking visit or something. We heard the Chris Rock bit, nigga, Stevie Wonder can't get a peek. We got mRNA vaccines now, vaccines that attach to and talk to your body on the smallest cell level. And that's what's helping us fight off a virus. And you telling me Stevlin
Hardaway Morris.
Stevlin Hardaway Morris can't even get an appointment at the eye doctor. If you don't get the fuck out of my face, y'all gonna stop playing in my face, man.
Lens grafters, call Stevie Wonder. Get him
somebody.
Up.
You got Invisalign for your teeth. You ain't got no Invisalign or something. Just
okay. Something.
All right.
Let's unpack a bit more of this research. So, to the point of celebrities who have sort of come forward and suggested that they personally believe that Stevie Wonder can, in fact, see, it's a long list. Boy George tells a story of Stevie Wonder once coming up to him at a party where Boy George was just hanging out, and then Stevie Wonder snuck up behind him and began to playfully choke Boy George from behind, despite not having a guide and not knowing that that was in fact Boy George. He just came up and started putting him in a Kurt Angle headlock because he thought this shit was funny. And Boy George was like, I don't know, that motherfucker can see, but I'm not going to say nothing because it's Stevie Wonder.
So he smelled chameleon? Like what did he know? How did he just guess that was Boy George? And also, if he had no guide, how did he maneuver through a crowd? How did you sneak up? How a nigga can't see sneak up on you? You what you just told me, Boy George, is anytime I see you in public, I should rob you, nigga. You
should be robbed every time.
Either a blind man just snuck up on you and put you in a chokehold, and therefore you should be robbed at every turn, or Stevie Wonder can see. One of those two things is more believable.
Yes.
See, who taught Stevie Wonder how to fight? Who's fighting Stevie Wonder? Who's like, I'm going to beat the blind dude ass? And somebody said, hey, they're going to keep trying you. I'm going to have to teach you how to put people in the chokehold. I feel like it's some niggas that he grew up with that know. And some people he grew up with, some kids that were in his elementary school would be like, that nigga can see. Get the fuck out of here. Fuck Stevie Wonder, lying ass. It's an old nigga named Otis. It's Stevlin. Yes. Fuck Stevlin. Stevlin, the bitch ass can see.
You mean that motherfucker with 20/20 vision? Stevlin?
And listen, Stevlin used to shoot birds from 4 trees away with a BB gun and talk about it. Yeah, he can't see. All of a sudden, I seen this motherfucker on TV. He wobbling and weaveling and shit, man. Fuck out of here. That nigga can see.
I recognize that dance anywhere. That's Stevlin.
I recognize that dance from the first grade. It was in a play. And he was supposed to be talking about the Yule log. This nigga started weebling and wobbling and shit. Well, the custom of burning the Yule log came from the Norse and Anglo-Saxon. I slapped him on the back of his head because the nigga wouldn't stop weaving and shit. I was trying to see my mama, but she kept blocking my fucking vision, his big ass head. I'm the reason he wrote Inner Vision, because I slapped him so hard he could see me from behind. Bitch ass.
Like,
nigga.
All right, Otis, you're a real piece of shit too in this story. Relax,
right,
man.
I want to believe you, but now you made me question your humanity. Sir.
You're behaving poorly here, Otis. I don't know who to listen to at this point. Another example of a person, and you brought this up earlier, I believe this is what you were referring to, is Paul McCartney. In 2010, they were at the White House performing for the president, a bunch of famous people, including, for some reason, Jerry Seinfeld was on stage with them. But anyway, A bunch of famous people are on stage singing Hey Jude, I believe it is, or some Beatles song. Paul McCartney is prancing across stage, as he is known to do. And as he does, he knocks over a microphone that Stevie Wonder catches without really looking over. He just kind of like instinctually pulls the microphone back in. And a bunch of people around Stevie Wonder kind of like start to rush to go help, but then are amazed at the sort of magic of the moment and then kind of look at each other. Did y'all see what the fuck he didn't see, apparently? Mm-hmm. It was a very weird moment that I think Stevie never intended to be caught on camera as clearly as it is.
The devil of Hell's Kitchen. Either this nigga's daredevil and all of his senses are great. And that's the other thing. He put niggas in chokeholds, catching shit by reflex. If there's a vigilante in L.A., it's Stevie Wonder. This nigga's got like superpowers. Or he can see. Like this, at some point, we got to go, all of these coincidences happen. Or Stevlin Hardaway Morris is a sighted person who's been fucking us over for 50 plus years because a B turns to an A when the nigga who got the B couldn't see. All I'm saying.
There are a few more that I want to run through quickly. There's a story that Shaq told in 2019 that apparently while walking into the room, much in the way that he had with Boy George, Shaq never alerts Stevie Wonder to his presence, but Stevie Wonder immediately goes, "What's up, Shaq? How you doing, big dog?" Similarly, Lionel Richie, we talked about him earlier, accuses Stevie Wonder of having full sight. He says that he once saw Stevie Wonder steer a car down a driveway in reverse. Anthony Anderson claims to have lost a free throw contest to Stevie Wonder for a charity. Puff Daddy says that Stevie Wonder once in a private conversation described an outfit that Puff was wearing previously. And then finally, and this is my personal favorite, there is an actual photo of Stevie Wonder taking a picture of Michael Jackson in the Motown Museum where Stevie is looking through the viewer on the camera and Michael is posing. And we are just meant to believe that that was them being silly billies and not him taking a real picture of Michael Jackson.
There's a collection of get the fuck out of here is in that whole list. But the biggest one to me is him backing out of a driveway because cars being backed out of a driveway for sighted people is a difficult thing because you're looking in rearview mirrors and sideview mirrors, so everything is reversed behind you. It's not only difficult to see for a sighted person, but your brain has to do the calculus to reverse everything so that you know where you are. And you're telling me that a motherfucker who can't see at all can back his car out of the driveway. I'm going to ask you if you could please get the fuck out of here with that. That's where I'm at with it. So
a few more additional pieces for us to go out on. This is a personal favorite of mine. Stevie Wonder is known for going to a shit ton of basketball games. This motherfucker loves NBA basketball, and specifically, he always buys courtside tickets. And more importantly, Stevie Wonder is also a season ticket holder to the Lakers. So for some reason, this blind man enjoys the squeak of shoes and grown men calling each other bitch ass niggas on a court so much that he's willing to spend season ticket Lakers money every year to make sure
season ticket
that he
Laker
can hear
money.
Courtside.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I would love to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to listen to sneakers squeak.
Yes.
Fuck up, Stevie, you can see, nigga. Just say it. We'll still love you, nigga. We fine. We still fuck with you.
So here's what I think would be an important thing for us to go out on is that it, and you brought this up earlier, and I actually think it brought me to a point that I find myself asking as I was reaching through all this research, is maybe the real question is, in relation to his blindness, what kind of fucked up world do we live in where a black man felt forced to fake blindness for the sake of gaining success that should have otherwise come to him naturally? that Stevie Wonder is such a gifted musician with sight or without it, that maybe we should just have been able to celebrate him. But because of the time period that he lived in and the circumstances from which he came, he felt like, if I don't fake my blindness or at least exaggerate it to a point that is far more extreme than what I'm actually experiencing, people are not going to treat me fairly in the way that they should.
It's the black people have to work twice as hard to get half as far.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give the black person a handicap, they can work the regular amount of hard because we're giving them, you know what I mean? There's a multiplier on the end of it, right? Like, oh, blind nigga did it. That's times two. That's white privilege, right? Like, so Stevie's blindness is his foray into white privilege. It's the Chappelle. I go to a lot of white parties because I'm wealthy. It's Stevie Wonder. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't blind, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm a fantastic musician, but I was a fantastic musician in the 50s when they were stealing from niggas who were fantastic musicians. No one's stealing from a blind person. That's a level of ain't shitness that even white racist Jim Crow era white folks wasn't doing. You ain't gonna steal from the little pole nigga. Come on now. He can't see and y'all stealing from him? We saw what happened to the Five Heartbeats. They wrote a song and it was five white dudes with fucked up haircuts doing their whole routine. Nobody did that to Stevie. Nobody stole a Stevie Wonder song, because if you're a white dude and they say, hey, I saw what you did to the Cold Crush Brothers. Fuck the Cold Crush Brothers. I saw what you did to Stevie Wonder. That nigga stole from a blind dude.
Yeah.
That would have brought down the fall of America.
You created a force field that white supremacy cannot penetrate, because we, at least at this point, and we'll get there. Donald Trump literally made fun of a person with full physical ailments with fervor in front of a crowd that applauded. So like, we'll get there. But as it is right now, we cannot just steal from blind people out in the open. And you're saying that Stevie Wonder found that loophole and needed to find that loophole in order to feel safe in his position in society. Absolutely.
Or Berry Gordy found it. But whoever found it, it was probably tactically brilliant.
Sure.
And
Beyonce didn't write all of Lemonade. She takes credit for it all the same.
Right. Absolutely. Right. It's and no Lauryn Hill, but I'm just saying she at least paid the. I shouldn't have done that. Sorry, Lauryn. That was
now you're going to jail, Playboy.
Yeah, I
don't know why you would play that game.
That was on you.
All right, we're gonna take a break. We'll be back with more Felonious Monk and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
Why are you gay?
Who says I'm gay?
You are gay.
Yeah, we're back here with more Felonious Monk, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about the possibility that Stevie Wonder had to fake his blindness for the sake of making everything equal in America. And boy, what a fucked up America we live in, where a motherfucker has to pretend to be that physically disabled just to be able to exist at the level that he deserves. And who's to say what a level that a person deserves is? I don't know. I'm getting myself down an ugly train that I probably don't want to dig in. Yeah, I don't want to be in this tunnel. It's scary in here. So what we should do instead, Monk, is let's play a game. You down to play a game?
Cool. I'm with it. Let's get it.
Hell yeah. This is a fun game that this is a brand new game I built up specifically for this episode. It is called Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Insane.
You take one more picture, I'm going to break that camera.
It's a fun game where I am going to introduce to you a number of Stevie Wonder song titles, or songs as they were. And if we are to presume that Stevie Wonder is in fact faking his blindness, then we have to then assume that Stevie Wonder is in some way a psychopath. And if he is a psychopath, I would love for you to unpack the hidden messages you believe that might live in this song. Like all psychopaths, he probably has left a taste of something behind. Mr. Policeman, I gave you all the clues type energy.
Right.
And so I would love for you to just tell me what you think might be hidden in the messages of these songs and song titles. That makes sense?
Yep.
Hell yeah. So let's,
I got it.
Let's start cool and easy. Let's start with a Stevie Wonder classic. Let's start with Ribbon in the Sky. What do you think? What do you think the hidden message might be in Ribbon in the Sky?
Well, I think, again, very visual language, right? This is an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Love is one of those things that you don't need to make visual references to. Love is a feeling. Love is something that you can experience without any other subtext, context. It's just love. It's the feeling in my heart that I get. My heart beats. My skin does this. You don't need sight to say that. So why a ribbon in the sky? A place that you need to look up to. You understand me? Not a ribbon around an old oak tree. Not the ribbon in the lady's hair. There's a ribbon in the sky. For our love. I don't even know what the fuck that means. If we're being honest, I just know that it's telling us I can see. That's what the song is saying. That whole song ain't about a woman. There's a ribbon in the sky for our love means when I look up, I see something that represents our love. Mm-hmm. Because bitch, I can see. That's the song. The song is called Because Bitch, I Can See. That's the part in parentheses that they never, you know what I mean?
Like, I'm sure he wrote that part and then they were like, hey man, we can't put that in. He's
That's going to ruin the whole thing. All right, but I'm telling you,
that's how I want to act.
It's slap if you add that part to it, though. It's the ad. It's like taking out the ad libs from OJ the Juice Man. No more. Mm-hmm. Hey, okay. Now you took that out. I mean, the song's still good, I guess, but with the A's and the OK's, way better.
Yes. Okay. Let's do another one. There's a classic song called Ebony and Ivory. Tell me a little bit about what you think might be hidden in the messaging of Ebony and Ivory.
Well, again, Ebony and Ivory, as we talked about earlier, blackness only exists in contrast to whiteness in this country in particular, right? But you have to see it. You have to see it, right? There's no whiteness in parenting or blackness in parenting. I know black people sometimes like to pretend that. You're like, oh, white people get away with everything. Their kids didn't get spanked, which lets me know that you don't have any white friends, because white kids definitely got their asses whipped. They just write books about it or kill their parents, and then we don't do that part. I'm sorry, I just stereotyped on top of discrediting a stereotype. Anyway, point is, the idea for Stevie was that he wanted to date white women. But because he knew that the times that he lived in didn't allow it, he couldn't pretend. He couldn't say, damn, I saw this bad white chick and I wanted to holler at her, because how did you know she was a white chick? What would have tipped you off that she was a white woman? There's nothing that could tell a blind man that they were talking to a white woman except that they could see a white woman. And so he wrote this song out of a need to experience whiteness in a way that he wouldn't have to apologize for, because if you're a black person and you have to be introduced to everybody you meet and that person has to be described to you, you knew before you got to know her, before you were attracted to her, someone would have had to say she's white.
Mm. So you're saying,
but if you could see, you can get away with, you know, I just saw her and I fell in love.
Right. So you're saying that Paul McCartney in this case is just a red herring. That he's an illusion for a more complicated conversation about who Stevie Wonder really wants to fuck, but cannot because of the circumstances.
And I also want to point out that because of his proximity to Stevie during Ebony and Ivory, that he knew way back then Stevie could see. And the fact that he came out later and said that Stevie could see after the shit that happened in 2010 lets me know that Paul McCartney is a bitch ass nigga and John Lennon was right to lead them niggas. Because you don't fucking snitch on your boy that you wrote Ebony and not, nigga, live together in perfect harmony is about fucking. Don't nobody want to sing Kumbaya with no white dude that they went to class with. This was about fucking a white woman, and he couldn't say, I want to fuck white women, but I've been blind and black for too long. Can't do that. So he got fucking Paul McCartney, white people's favorite. You know what I mean? There's no one beloved more. Maybe he could have got Elton John, but then that would have blurred the lines of sexuality, and I don't think he was ready to do that. But he definitely wanted to fuck white women, and he only wanted to fuck white women because he saw them in contrast to black women, because he can fucking see.
Whoa. Heavy shit. This is a fun one. Don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing. What you think's hidden in that message?
That's a good one, because this was one where he actually sounded like a singer in the normal sense of the word, right? Stevie Wonder's runs are different than everybody else's runs. He just and he puts them in places where they usually don't go, which is one of the parts, one of the genius parts of his songs, right? Like you did a run in the middle of that word. That's not even a real syllable, but you made it a syllable. But he didn't do that on Don't You Worry About a Thing. That song is about him driving a woman home after the club and her panicking because she realized when she got in the car that Stevie Wonder was driving, and he looked at her, pulled his glasses down, adjusted the mirror and said, "Don't you worry about a thing," and then started driving her home. And she signed a non-disclosure, so she can't talk about it. "Don't You Worry About a Thing." It's a song about Stevie Wonder driving a woman home after the club when he was married, because if you look, a lot of his divorces came from infidelity, which, wow, how hard must it be to cheat on your wife when you can't even see the bitches you want to cheat on your wife with? You're doing a lot, okay? But the reality is, it's not that hard because the nigga could see. And he would tell her he was at the studio, he would go to the club, no one would say anything because what the fuck is Stevie Wonder doing in the club? He would meet a woman, probably a white woman, during this ebony and ivory period. He gets in the car with her, he's about to drive home. She says, "Where's your driver?" He says, "Don't you worry about a thing."
Don't you worry about a thing. Boom.
Podcast.
Whoa. Okay. I want to do one more. And you've nailed every single one of these so far. I'm sure Stevie feels exposed and scared at the truth bombs that you keep dropping.
My email is blowing up right now. His agent, his reps are like, "We see you, nigga.
We see you. Stevie can't see you, but we see you, motherfucker. We gonna get you."
Mm-hmm. And I'm emailing him back, "Nigga, he see me too. Fuck out of here."
Okay. Last one. Mm-hmm. I would love for you to tell me what hidden message you think is cooked in "Knocks Me Off of My Feet." "Knocks Me Off of My Feet."
This was him explaining the scam.
Oh.
"Knocks Me Off of My Feet. I saw it at the last minute. I couldn't move because then y'all would have known. You saw what happened when I caught the goddamn microphone. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, 'Ooh, nigga, see.' So now the punch is coming." Mm-hmm. "I see the punch coming, but I have now conditioned my body not to react to outside stimuli because every time I reflexively move, people see the reflex. So "Knocks Me Off of My Feet" is a song not about love, not about how this woman is so amazing and beautiful and fantastic to feel the night. It's literally about him falling down at some shit that he could have stood up to. He's letting us there again. He's saying, "Hey man, y'all can't really knock me off my feet. You can't unless I allow you to." I'm allowing you to knock me off my feet. I see the ribbon in the sky, but I have to make it seem like it's poetry. We pretended that this nigga is a poet all these years when the reality is the nigga's just looking around and saying the shit that he sees. And we're like, "This is amazing because he's blind. How could he see it in so detail?" He sees it in detail. Like, "I look, it's like a white closet." That's a dumbass sentence. "But it's like a white closet folded open. Oh shit, this blind nigga is amazing."
No.
That's what he did. So "Knocks Me Off My Feet" is literally about him pretending to stumble multiple times throughout the day as part of his performative blindness. Whoa. And all of this is performative blindness. "Knocks Me Off My Feet." My favorite song by Stevie Wonder, by the way. It's a beautiful song, well written. But the hidden message by this fucking dastardly genius is that every day at a certain point, he has to find a reason in a crowded room to fall, to stumble, to bump into something, to have something knock him off of his feet so as to appear more human. It's what Michael K. Williams, rest in peace, did with all of these amazingly dark characters. He humanized them. If Stevie Wonder can play all of the instruments, if Stevie Wonder can arrange all of his music by the time he's 12 years old, if Stevie Wonder can sing and tour all over the world, as you said, without drug use that got so many of his peers at that age group, if he could do all of these amazing things, have amazing marriages, never went broke, ain't fuck up his masters, Stevie Wonder did all of these fantastic things, this nigga might be a god. Oh, no, he just bumped into the door jam. Knocked me off my feet.
Human again, Stevie.
Human again, Stevie. Podcast it. That's what he did, man. It's genius.
God,
but every song that he's ever written is a hint. And also, it's kind of Zodiac killerish in that he's telling us, and on his deathbed, he'll be like, "Yeah, knock me off my feet. You know how fucked up I felt just stumbling around in front of y'all goofy ass niggas, man. Y'all goof ass niggas. I saw y'all." And that's his last song is going to be some shit with Chief Keith. It's gonna be him and Chief Keef.
Goofy ass nigga.
Gang gang. And he goes say gang gang. He was like, are you saying gang gang? He said, no, gang gang. G-A-N. Goof ass nigga. Knocks me off my feet is about. Shout out to Stevie Wonder and Chief Keef. It's gonna be a dope ass song in 2040. Goof ass nigga. Also, if Stevie Wonder's still alive in 2040, I take all of this back.
Sure. If he makes it, then he probably will be actually blind. And at that point, you owe him an apology.
I owe you an apology. Nah, nigga, I know you blind now. Your whole eyes stopped working.
Talking about all them years before.
Yeah, I was talking about until 2020.
Well, Monk, we did it. What a fantastic episode. What a great unpacking of one of America's greatest ruses. Could you tell the people at home where they can find you, what cool shit you have going on?
Yeah, man. You said at the beginning, season one and season two of For Life are available on Netflix and Hulu. All of the Nightly Show shit is available on Comedy Central site. I'm on all of the internets at Felonious_Monk. Got a couple of movies coming out, a horror movie called Restless. I can't tell you where you'll see that because it's in post. And then another movie called Block Party. It's called Block Party. And it should be coming out next summer on Juneteenth. It's a black family movie, comedy. And you can also see me in Chicago doing stand-up. I'll be at Zany's on November 7th. Please come to Zany's Chicago on November 7th, masked up and vaxxed up. I'm coming there on no bullshit, fake vax with them little cars because I see through that shit just like I see through Stevie Wonder's ruses, nigga. Mm-hmm. Don't fucking play with me. I shoot him. I can see.
He can see. And please see yourself to following Monk and coming to his shows, vaccinated and masked up and all that shit. And as always, you can follow me at Langston Kerman. And if you decide you want to send us your theories, your conspiracies, as it were, you can send them to mymamapod@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. All right. We did it. Bye, bitch. We'll be right back.